Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome again to this wonderful episode of the Chris Miles Money Show. Thank you again so much for tuning in. Thank you allowing for me the opportunity to serve you, to be able to share with others too, those that have been sharing this show with others. Thank you so much, because this is the kind of ripple effect we want to create. And what is that ripple effect? That ripple effect is to be able to create financial freedom for you now, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now. How do we create that cash flow, that passive income, and get that ability for your money to work harder for you so you don't have to work so stinking hard for that money? And that's what we're here to create for you. So thank you for joining us today. Hey, as a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's a great ebook on there, how to find an extra $34,000 on average a year for some of my clients. Here's some of the best ways they've done that. So go ahead and download that for free on moneyripples.com. So today I want to talk to you guys about a question that keeps coming up, and it's even come up more recently, just in the last few weeks. Many of you guys have been reaching out saying, hey, I've got some extra cash reserves, or I've got money sitting in savings and I feel like it could be doing something better. So what do I do with this money? Like, what, how do I do this? How much should I be keeping for emergency savings? How much should I be using to go and invest, and what should I be doing with it? And so today's show is really going to be about that. I'm going to be addressing two things. I mean, one is, of course, is what do you do with your cash reserves? How much reserve should you have? And where can you put it to where it earns a better return than just sitting in your savings account earning 0.0%? And then the second thing is, what about the other money that you could be investing and making more money there? Because really, we want our money to work harder for us, don't we? I mean, we don't want to have our money just sit around doing nothing, because that's exactly what I taught as a financial advisor for years. It was, hey, you know, this is how you store money. You let it sit there and compound for 5 million years, and then someday you might have $1 million bucks, right? And it's just a bunch of crap. It's bull. And so, you know, I want to talk about really some good strategies. I really want to get into the strategies here. So first, let's talk about the cash reserves. So your emergency savings. Now, if you've listened to this show for a while, you've probably heard me mention it from time to time, but I usually recommend having at least 6 months of your expenses in cash reserves. So if your expenses are $10,000 a month, you're going to want to have about $60,000 in cash reserves. Now, for some of you, that could feel like craziness, because you don't want that, what you feel like, a money burning a hole in your pocket, right? This is a good test for you. By the way, some of you guys that are a little bit too trigger happy, you know, to go and invest money, sometimes the best thing you do is be patient. And I've had clients like that where they're so trigger happy, they want to spend money so quickly, it's in and out so quickly, that sometimes the best thing I can have them do is spend a couple months letting the money sit there and do nothing. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I actually want to encourage you guys to be wise stewards and be able to make the most of the resources you have. So cash reserves. So like I said, 6 months at least. Now, if you're a business owner, you may want more. Everybody has their own personal number, right? I call this finding your zero. And I'll ask couples this all the time, because couples will have a different number almost every time. There's been very rare occasions where they came up with the same number. But the number is usually like, what number is it that if you have that amount sitting in your bank account or sitting in reserves, you feel like you can take a breath? And this could be lower than your 6 months reserves, and I get that. And for some of you guys, it could be $1,000. For others of you, it could be $50,000 or $100,000. It just depends on where you're at. But I see this as an essential theme, because this is where it goes beyond just the calculation of numbers. Because for some of you, you might need more than what's necessary. I was almost going to be redundant there. It might be more than what you feel is what might logically seem necessary, but for emotional purposes, you might need it there. And so you might need some more liquid reserves, and that's fine. You know, everybody's different. But yeah, you do want to have at least 6 months reserve. So just in case income dries up, if you're in business, if you know, you have some pretty crummy months, it's good to know you have those reserves. And when there's good months, you can build it back up. Now, where do you store that? So let's use this $10,000 a month example, right? Because if you hold this in say, in a simple savings account at your bank, and let's just say you're getting right now, currently, a decent 0.2% return. Now, you know, $60,000, right? You know, earning, you know, 2%. Wait, what did I say? Not even 2%. Sorry, 0.2. See, I'm already thinking higher numbers here. So, it seems like a ridiculous number. That's $120 a year. Congratulations, you made $10 a month. Woohoo! All right. So $10 a month, right? Now, can we do better? Yes. Now, should we keep some money in the bank? I think so. So of the 6 months reserves, you might want to keep a few thousand there. Money that you know you need to access like today. Like you need to go into the bank and get it today. It could be $3,000, $5,000. It could be whatever number. You know, all of us have, a different thing. It could be $10,000 or more. It could be $20,000. Whatever that number is, like that's the number you want to make sure you're set. But again, you don't want so much money stored there that's not doing anything. Because like I said, $60,000 to make $120 a year. Guys, we can do better than that. So where can you do it? Now, guys, I'm going to put some links in the show notes here just to be able to reemphasize this. You know, and those of you guys are on my email list. Actually, I'll email this out as well with those same links. And so here's some things you can do. One, you can get an online savings account or money market account. Now, money markets, I mean, you could get money markets through your bank, right? And they might pay you. Maybe I have a credit union pay me 0.4 or 0.45% right now, which is decent. You know, that's better than we've seen the last 10 years, right? But stinky, still stinky. It was stinky, as for those of you guys who are Nacho Libre fans, right? So anyways, so we want to do better. Now, I have a money market right now that currently is paying 2%. The online savings portion of it, you know, just the online savings account, the simple one's paying 1%. Now, I remember when it was paying like 0.75. You know, it went down to 0.75. Now, I also remember the days about 12, 13 years ago when it was paying 5%. So I know that the numbers can be higher, right? And so even at the money market, the money market is double. So we transfer most of our online savings, right? And by the way, of our 6 months reserves, we keep a decent chunk. I'd say for most people, a good amount is between 1 to 2 months. So if you're looking at the same $60,000 for 6 months, $10,000 a month, you might want to keep $10,000 to $20,000 in these kind of accounts. One of them that I use, and I'll put a link for the best paying one. So even if you're listening to this a year later, they try to update these numbers so that you always find the best paying savings accounts or money markets on the marketplace today. So that's how I even found this one that was paying 2%, you know, for a money market. If you're earning say 2% now, and so if you have those 1 to 2 months, that's $10,000 to $20,000. Now think of this. Now 2% is 10 times better than what we had just described. So if you can make 2% on even $20,000, right? Well, that's $400 a year already. With just that small portion of money, you're beating that $120 you would have been making, and actually really less because you would have been making a tenth of that. So you really would have been making $40 off of that same amount, but now you're making 400, 10 times better. I think that's pretty dang good, right? So even if you just do that, even if you say, hey, I'm going to put all my reserves there, great, awesome. You're going to make a decent amount of money on that, you know, at least better than what you're getting with your bank. Now, I don't recommend you do that. Now, I did a show a few months back talking about how do you leverage life insurance to go and invest with it, right? Now, I'll tell you, for me personally, I actually keep some of my cash reserves in my life insurance. Why? Well, first off, I've learned from past experience, especially when I've had creditors and, you know, things like that, you know, in the past, right? When I was going through my tough times about 10 years ago, you know, like I remember having money taken out of my bank account. Why? Because legally, if somebody has a judgment or a lien against you, they can pull money right out of your bank account without you even knowing. I remember, and this one was actually an IRS bill, so a tax bill, of course, right? It wasn't huge. And I remember I had a decent month in business. I'm like, all right, I'm going to build up my savings. And then all of a sudden, I realized that money was missing out of my account. Like it disappeared. I was like, what the heck happened? And so I called my bank. It's like, what happened here? And they said, oh, well, the IRS had a lien against you. And so they noticed you had money in your savings account and they took it out. I'm like, what the heck? And then of course, and they said, yeah, you should have got a letter from us. Well, the letter did show up 2 days later after it already happened. There was no warning. I'll tell you, that got me to distrust keeping my money in those kind of things. And I'll tell you that the only place that's safe from most creditors is either in your 401k, which I'm not a big fan of, or your life insurance. And so I keep a good amount of reserves in my life insurance. And the reason I can't touch it is because it's considered part of your death benefit. But here's the other thing. You know, you think about that savings account, right? That 120 bucks you might have earned in your bank. Did you know that 120 bucks gets taxed every year? You probably noticed you've reported it to IRS every year, right? So of the 120 bucks, you're lucky to maybe even get 100 of that dollars back, right? Probably less. Well, if I put it in my life insurance, and I like to keep at least 3 to 4 months of those reserves there. So in that 60,000 example, that would be $30,000 to $40,000. Now that's tax-free. It's tax-free just like a Roth IRA, but you can touch it whenever you want. You don't have to wait the 5 years like a Roth IRA does before you have to, you know, not worry about the penalty. And that's only on the money you've put in, not on the money that's grown, right? You know, if you want to get everything tax-free, you have to wait till you're 59 and a half. But with life insurance, I can get the same tax rules, but more accessibility, making it a better cash reserve storage place than even doing a Roth IRA. So that $30,000, $40,000, by the way, say that it's even netting 4%. And I know some of you guys, we've run numbers before. Some of you guys, especially after 10, 15, 20 years, that net, after all the costs have been paid and factored in, you're netting over 5% a year tax-free. But let's just say it's 4%. Well, guess what? 4% on 400,000, or sorry, not 400,000. Dang it, I keep going with high numbers here. On 40,000, it could be awesome with 400,000 too. And actually, yeah, we'll just say the 40,000 right there. So $40,000 at 4%, that right there is $1,600 a year. Guys, that was already better. That was better than the 120 bucks we'd already talked about, isn't it? Much better. I mean, that's 20 times better right there. And that's tax-free. So actually, it's more than 20 times better. Now, here's the thing, is that obviously we may not do all that because, hey, we've already got some in the bank, right? We might have kept 5,000 in the bank. So we'll say 5,000 in the bank. We'll keep 20,000 online savings. You know, that leaves us with about 35,000. We'll put 30,000 in the life insurance. Well, okay, well, that 30,000 at 4%, that's still 1,200 bucks. That's still way better. So already, we're already looking at about, you know, really over $1,600 a year compared to 120. Now, the last bit of it, the other maybe 5,000 bucks, and this could be, you know, I say like 2 to 4 weeks of your reserves, right? This could be maybe 5 to 10,000 at most. This is where you want to split between like cash we like to keep cash like in a safe, you know, like a, you know, cash you can access, because if we have Hurricane Katrina or anything else like this that happens again, you know, what if the ATM machines are down or banks are closed? Where do you get cash? And especially in small bills, you want to make sure when you get cash, you get them in small bills. Don't get out hundreds. You can have a few of those. That's fine. But you want 20s and less, 20s, 10s, 5s, and 1s. You know, you want that kind of change, right? And so that's the kind of thing you want to have a lot of if you're going to store some money. Also, gold and silver as an inflation hedge against some of this money. So if you're worried about the value of the dollar dropping, get some gold and silver to offset the hedge. And you can get whatever blend you want. A lot of times I kind of, as a rule of thumb for myself, I get 75% silver, 25% gold, you know? So again, using the same numbers here, if you had like 5,000 use, you might keep a couple thousand of cash and then the other 3,000 split between gold and silver, right? And that's great. And you can, and I'll put the link again for a place that I go to shop for gold. You know, it's not anything that I make money on, but it's cool. So, but it's a website that I used. So jmbullion.com, you'll see that in the show notes there. That's the one that my wife and I have used to buy gold and silver. And sometimes they'll have little deals and specials that will help you buy it. And they could be American, they can be Canadian Maple Leafs, you name it. So anyways, those are the kind of things I do for cash reserves. So if you think about that, I mean, and even if the value of gold and silver doesn't go up, which I've had people when the value of gold and silver had gone up, they loved having that gold and silver. But guys, if you look at what your money could be doing, right? I mean, if you can be making well over $1,600 bucks a year, just of that $60,000, right? By the way, that's about netting just, what is that? Just over 3%, isn't it? Yeah, it's a little over 3% you're netting, right? Which is awesome, especially compared to getting 0.2%. And this is money that's liquid. This is money you can be using in case of emergencies. You know, plus you got the gold and silver offset it in case the value of the dollar drops. You got something to hedge against that. That could be going up a lot more. But that's the kind of strategy I use and that I really recommend my clients do. Now, what about the rest of the money? Now, the rest of the money, this is what I refer to as the freedom account, right? This is the money that you can use now to invest. Well, what can we do with that? Now, again, some of the cash reserves, we want to keep liquid. And this is why, again, I store a lot in the life insurance because I know I can get tax-free protected money that creditors and lawsuits and people can't get to, right? But what about the rest of the money? Well, this is where we start to really create cash flow, create growth with our money, right? All the rest of it. Now, you guys might think, man, I'm just trying to get up to that cash reserves. Well, great. And I'm not saying that you have to build your cash reserves, first and then invest. You might do a little bit towards investing. We've had companies on here like AHP. We've talked about turnkey real estate. We've talked about oil and gas, although we haven't actually had a guest on here about that. There are resources I've used for oil and gas, and for investments that way. There's all kinds of strategies we can be using. The key is that we're not just stuffing our 401ks. So if you want to accelerate building your reserves and you want to accelerate being able to invest money to create cash flow now, not have to wait till you're 60 plus years old to access it whenever the government tells you they can, then guys, if you're funding a 401k, this might be the time to stop, regardless of the match. And I've done episodes before, we've talked about whether the match is good. And you'll see that and we talk about 401k versus real estate. And we've, talked about, is 401k a good idea? Guys, when you see like what's available out there and the kind of money you can make with safer returns than gambling in the stock market right now, especially when the market's doesn't even know which direction it's going right now, right? For some of you, you're worried because last month you've seen it drop. You've seen actually that this could be a down year, the first down year we've had since 2015, which is a teeny bit, like a 0.1% down, which really wasn't down, it was really flat. But this could be our first down year in about a decade, right? So this is a big deal. This is not the time to be gambling our money away. This is the time that we could be making a crud load of money. This is the time to do it. There's not a time to waste. And so the guys, there's so many investment options. And like I said, even if you could do it in real estate, I ran a calculation on just my own property recently. I was like, hey, what if we put in some conservative numbers here? By the way, what was so cool? One of my properties just barely bought it last spring. So it was just really about 7 months ago I bought it. Well, guess what? They renewed the lease and the lease now is going up in a couple months by another 4 or 5%. I'll tell you, this is just kind of a side note about real estate investing, right? When you buy the actual asset, not just investing in a fund. Funds can be great and there's a place for them, but there's something cool when you actually own the asset and you can get all the gains, the profits from it. When I realized like, hey, if my rent goes up even if it's $55 a month, going from now a net of 270 to a net of about 320 a month, that actually increases my returns by a couple percent a year, just from that. And by the way, the property management company plans to keep, raising it up as inflation in the marketplace handles it, which on average has been about 3%. I'll tell you, there's not many investments I've done, even funds that I've done that pay really well, they pay steadily, maybe 10%, 12%+ returns, right? But those funds, they don't necessarily always go up with inflation. They might just say, this is what we'll pay you. But to get those kind of results, plus some tax benefits, when you can offset some of the profits I'm making, and there's possible appreciation, everything else. When I'm looking at like an internal rate of return of like 17% plus a year, right? That's just based on conservative growth. And that's based on like, extra expenses, unexpected expenses, and things like that. It's huge. By the way, if you decide to buy real estate, like turnkey properties, like we've talked about before on this show, if you decide to do that, or any properties for that matter, you do need to have cash reserves for that too. And many people will ask me, how much in cash reserves should they keep? And I'll say, this just depends, but it's very possible you might want to keep all the profits in the first year. You may not want to pay yourself any profits from that first year. You want to keep that all in reserves. And yes, you could keep that in better online savings or checking. Yeah, absolutely. So at least you're getting a better return than your bank, right? Or better return than almost nothing in checking. But you can do that. And so, keep those liquid reserves. By the way, yes, you can use life insurance and say, cool, if I need extra cash or if there's something big, like a big expense, like a roof, gets damaged, severely, or there's, a new water heater or AC or heater unit that needs to be replaced. Great. You can do that. You want to have those reserves too. So here's the thing, real estate investing. It can be great. But curves can happen to you in real estate. And granted, anything can happen with any investment you do. There could be a bad side. And this is why I teach people, first and foremost, when you're looking for investment, don't just go for something that's going to pay you good money. Go for something that you actually would enjoy, regardless of the money. Something you think is fascinating and fun. It may not have anything to do with real estate at all. And that's great because there's other options. you know, like I said, there's oil and gas. There's things that you can do with different types of funds and investing in different types of businesses and things like that. There's so many options. But I'm telling you guys, like, there's so much of a better world than saving your money in the traditional credit way, just like we talked about before when I talked about that client that can make $1.8 million a year cash flow by the time he's 65. That's passive income, by the way. Yes, that stuff is very possible. By the way, he could easily do more than that. That's just staying, again, very conservative and just keeping the numbers going steadily. You know, life can happen. Your life is never meant to be put in a calculator, but I'm telling you, the real life example of being able to create cash flow is incredible. And so guys, when you're looking for your savings to do something, you know, and you don't have to deploy every penny of cash. You can keep some set aside. If you see, hey, there's a recession I think is coming, earmark a little bit of that money for that, for those kind of opportunities. You know, the last recession was great because if you want to buy up cheap real estate, it was simple. People were selling it for cheap. There's all kinds of options there, guys. So anyways, I'm not going to overly embellish on this because really we got so many episodes on this, but I'm going to post, you know, along with this show in the show notes, I'm going to post links to different places to get better online savings accounts. Obviously, if you have questions on how to do life insurance piece, just email me directly, chris@moneyripples.com, and that can actually run some real life scenarios for you. But yeah, with that, the gold and silver, I'll put my resources on there for you guys so you have access to that. So Merry Christmas. I hope you enjoy it. And guys, I hope you make a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.